many famous events in human history that I would love to have been present to witness. Have you ever done that? Wondered, what would you like to have seen in history? I'd like to have witnessed the signing of the Declaration of Independence, Lincoln delivering the Gettysburg Address. I'd like to have seen the signing of the surrender that ended World War II, first in Germany and then in Japan. Many events in the Bible I'd like to have witnessed, like the parting of the Red Sea or Elijah calling fire down from heaven. I'd like to have witnessed everything in the life of Jesus. In a way, though, I would have mixed feelings about witnessing his death. In a way, to witness him securing our salvation, that would have been wonderful. But on the other hand, I'm not sure if my heart could have taken it to witness our Savior crucified, dying for us. But like you, I would like to have been there in that little stable that night that Jesus was born, and to see him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. I invite you to come with me tonight in your mind and in your heart by faith to witness it as we look at what the Bible says about it. So please open with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 2. These old familiar words, they paint the picture of what happened on that glorious night so long ago when our Lord Jesus Christ was born on Christmas night in the little town of Bethlehem. We begin in verse 8, chapter 2. There were in that country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Can you picture it at night? Shepherds had just put the sheep down and the sheep were slowly going to sleep. And then maybe one or two of them were still saying baa, and then they were asleep. The shepherds around a campfire, probably a little bit of small talk, counting up the sheep, as they had done many, many times. The shepherds were just regular folks. Some preachers like to make them out to be great saints because, well, some of the great men in the Bible had been shepherds. Abraham, Moses, David. On the other hand, some preachers tend to make shepherds very disreputable, almost like thieves. In fact, however, they were just average people like us. And there they were sitting around the campfire and like people today, just going through their regular life day by day. And these men weren't expecting anything unusual that night. They had gone through this ritual perhaps hundreds and hundreds of times over the years. But then something unusual happened to them. Look at verse 9. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Suddenly, out of nowhere, they have an unexpected visitor. Not another shepherd, not another human being. It was an angel that came straight from heaven and appeared out of nowhere, aglow with the glory of God. In fact, it says here that the glory of God shone around them, emanating from the angel, surrounding the shepherds like a fog that was incandescent with the light of heaven. In the Bible, we know this light as the Shekinah glory of God, this supernatural light of glory, unlike any light that we have ever seen, incandescent, as it were, sparkling, shimmering with the glory of God, a supernatural light, almost like a living light. And it was all around them like a bright fog. And the shepherds had never seen or experienced or imagined anything like this. And we're told that their response was one of intense fear. First, because nothing like this had ever happened to them. It came suddenly. But also seeing this angel right there in front of them. And they experienced fear because every time an angel appeared in the Bible, people were afraid. Angels were not cuddly little creatures with little wings on their shoulders. They appeared, as it were, like soldiers with weapons in their hands, and people were terrified. The shepherds would be afraid. Perhaps God had sent this angel to punish them for their sins, and so they were terrified. Perhaps, maybe they were on their knees begging, please spare us. And they were afraid, terrified. God interrupted their lives, and God interrupts other people's lives today. Not by visits from an angel, but by something even greater. The Holy Spirit interrupts the lives of men and women today. It may be at school, it may be at home or at work, or just driving in the car, it may be late at night. And they respond when the Holy Spirit draws near to them and interrupts them. And often they respond like these shepherds did, with a sense of fear and awe. Often, when the Spirit begins to do this work in them, they fear for their very lives. They feel they're going to die. God has drawn near to them, and they're convicted of their sins. And the Holy Spirit does it usually through the Word of God. Maybe they've already been reading it, coming to church, and now it's alive, and God has drawn near to them. Many of us here remembered when God did that in our lives, and we feel like these shepherds on that night. And then the angel spoke to them, verse 10, and says, do not be afraid. I bring you good tidings, good news. Now, this is probably Gabriel, who's already appeared to Mary and to Joseph and to Zacharias and to Elizabeth. Probably the same angel named Gabriel appears and says, do not be afraid. We're not told what the expression on the angel's face was, but I think we can surmise it was an angelic smile, because he calms him and says, nothing to be afraid of. I'm your friend, and I've got good news for you. In fact, the best news you could ever imagine. I bring to you the gospel about the Lord Jesus Christ being born this very night. One interesting detail, and occasionally people have asked me this, they look at this and they say, you know, I've seen movies and I've read this, and it says Jesus was born at night. Now, was this Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? Have you little Bible scholars ever stumbled across that dilemma? Was Jesus born on December 24th or the 25th? What is it? Well, fellow Gentiles, let me invite you to think like a Jew. The Jews would have a simple answer to this, because the Jews, look back in Genesis 1, in Jewish reckoning, the day began, as it were, the night before when the sun goes down. So Jewish reckoning is Jesus was born at night, and that was the beginning of Christmas Day. You see the answer. Back to the text here, the angel makes a happy announcement. He says, good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people, the Jews, the Gentiles, the Americans, the Chinese, the Africans, all people around the world. Good tidings of great joy. And then his explanation in verse 11 is this. This is the good news. There is born to you this day, this night, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now notice how he describes Jesus in three ways. And that's of the essence of the gospel. First, he says, he is a Savior. This same angel, 9 months earlier, said the same thing to Joseph. He says, Joseph, that baby that is conceived in Mary by the Holy Spirit, name him Jesus. And in Hebrew, that means Jehovah saves. Name him Jesus, because this is the one, the Messiah, that will save his people from their sins. And as we saw last week, this is the message of Christmas. 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save his people from their sins. Not just from loneliness, not just financial problem. He came to save us from our sins. Secondly, the angel said he is Christ. And he probably said that in Hebrew. He is the Messiah, the Messiah. The one that God had promised through prophets for hundreds and hundreds of years. Going back to the first proclamation in the Garden of Eden, when God himself had promised to Adam and Eve, a Savior, a Messiah, a promised one will come one day that will defeat the devil to save his people from their sins. Been promised over the centuries, and we read about it through messianic prophecies all throughout the Old Testament. And now, he's here. And the angel had the glorious responsibility of saying, he's here, and he's born in that little village of Bethlehem. Thirdly, the angel says he is Christ the Lord. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And he is frequently called Lord. He is called the Lord of all, the Lord of glory, and the Lord. And again, when the angel said this, he used a very specific word. You see, the holy name Jehovah is usually translated into Greek as Kyrios, the Lord. In other words, this angel was proclaiming he is not just Messiah. He is not just Savior. He is God being born in human flesh. And this is of the essence of the gospel, brethren. Unbelievers need to hear who this Savior is. Who is the baby born whose birth we celebrate every year? Who is He? He is Christ. He is Lord. He is Savior. And that is of the essence of the good news, who Jesus is and what He did for us. And I'm sure that when the shepherds heard this, they were amazed. You remember, they were still getting over their fear. Have you ever gone through mixed emotions and they go from one to another, from intense fear to great joy? They're wondering, can it be true? Not just an angel, but the Messiah is here. We were taught about Him in synagogue school when we were little boys. And when we'd go to the temple and go to the synagogue, we'd hear about Him. Can it be true? Of course it's true. Angels don't lie. And this glory of God has been sent to us, as it were, bring us to the very threshold of heaven. Imagine what the shepherds felt, not just when they saw the angel, but when they heard the announcement of who Jesus is and He is now here. And then in verse 12, the angel says, go and find that baby. Go and worship Him. And in case you're wondering how to find Him, here is the sign for you. This will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Why would that be a sign? Well, you'd be a baby, but if babies would be wrapped up in swaddling clothes. But the shepherds were told, you will find this baby in an unusual place. There's only one baby in that little town that's in a manger. That's unusual. You don't lay babies in a feeding trough. You put them in a baby crib. And so the angel said, go and look around. Go through the different barns. And when you find the baby in that manger, that's the one. And you'll know that's the Son of God. God's Christmas present, as it were, was wrapped in swaddling clothes and not put under a Christmas tree, but laid in a manger. And that's how Jesus was born and presented. Then verse 13. Suddenly, just as sudden as the first angel appeared, now many more angels appeared. The text says, suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and singing. Now there were many, many more angels, as it were, angels invading earth from heaven. Curious. Angels are called the host of heaven, and that means soldiers. But they come not as soldiers to do battle, but soldiers to proclaim peace on earth. And here they are, many, many. It says here a multitude. How many? A multitude. How many angels are there? Look it up in the Bible. The Bible says there are not only thousands of angels, and sometimes we see on Christmas cards and in movies that maybe just a handful of angels in the sky singing, maybe strumming harps and playing horns. No. According to the Bible, there are more than thousands of angels. There are millions of angels. In fact, one verse says there's 10,000 times 10,000. And that's the greatest number that they could accumulate. There are millions of angels. Hundreds of millions of angels. And the Bible says that they all appeared in the sky that night. Picture this. Go out in the country one night during the dark of the moon and just kind of sit there and look up in the sky. Astronomers say that with the naked eye, we might be able to see as many as 3,000 stars. But then you get out a telescope and you'll see thousands and thousands and thousands of more. And you see, with the best telescopes, you'll see millions of stars out there in the galaxies and the quasars way as far as the sky will take you. And that's what it looked like on that night. Imagine when you look up and see stars twinkling in the sky, the Milky Way and all this. Imagine next time you see those stars, imagine on that first Christmas night, instead of seeing stars, you saw angels. Instead of twinkling little stars, little bits of light, you would see angels all around you, as far as the eye could see. Many of them. And the Bible says that both the angels are called hosts of heaven and the stars are called hosts of heaven. So just imagine how the shepherds responded. The fear of seeing not one aglow with the glory of God. Imagine then maybe the angels said, look up. And as they dared look up, angels began to appear as it were out of nowhere. And the shepherds would gasp in amazement. And they'd say, look over there. Look at all of them. There must be 100 angels. And the other one said, no, behind us, there's 1,000 angels. Look at that. 1,000,000 angels all around them, looking up to the right, to the left, behind them. The sky filled with angels, aglow with the glory of God. There would be the cherubim, the seraphim, the guardian angels. Michael would be there along with Gabriel and many, many others. They burst into view in this invasion from heaven, showing the glory of God and singing in the sky that night. In Matthew 1 and 2 and in Luke 1 and 2, angels figure very prominently in the Christmas story. Why? Because angels do God's bidding, and here they are introducing Jesus and celebrating His birthday. Now, let's pause to say something very important. The angels announce the birth of Jesus as the Messiah, God in the flesh. They did not come to celebrate the birth of another angel. There are those that say Jesus was an angel. In fact, the Jehovah's Witnesses say Jesus was an angel that became a man. They're wrong. He was not an angel. He had never been an angel. He wasn't an angel. He did not become an angel. Nor did God send an angel to become a man. God sent His Son into the world. God didn't send an angel. He sent His Son. You don't send a boy on a man's job, and you don't send an angel to do what only the Son of God could do. He sent the Son of God to be our Savior, something that no angel could ever do. He sent His Son. And we look up Hebrews 1 and Hebrews 2, and we find that Jesus is in a different category than the angels. That's what all of Hebrews 1 is about. It says over and over again, to which of the angels did God ever say this? To which of the angels did He ever say that? Jesus wasn't an angel. He's as high above the angels as the angels are above us. In fact, He's infinitely above the angels. And every angel on that night would have testified to that. And then in Hebrews 2, we're told that God sent His Son into the world not to redeem fallen angels. And the good angels don't need redemption. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, became a man to save man. This is the glory that the angels knew about and they were proclaiming. So we celebrate the birth of the Son of God who became a man. Not an angel become a man, nor God become an angel, but God become a man. And there's something more. Hebrews 1:6 has one of those golden verses we need to meditate upon more. And it says this. It says, to which of the angels did God ever say this? When He brings forth His firstborn into the world, let all the angels of God worship Him. And that's what we see on this night. When God brought forth His Son into the world through the Virgin Mary, a decree went out throughout the whole universe. Angels, guardian angels, seraphim, cherubim, those that wait upon God and worship day and night at the holy altar of God in heaven. God says, all of you, worship My Son. They had already worshipped Him for all eternity as God, the second member of the Trinity. Now on this glorious night, they are worshipping Him as the God-man. And that's cause for heavenly celebration as well as on earth. All the angels, all the millions of them, wherever they were, the guardian angels guarding God's people. Angels on the furthest extent of the galaxies out there, beyond, beyond. They knew immediately time for worship and celebration. And they all are singing and worshiping God. Look at verse 14. They are singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Singing. Now, this is cause for a number of the great hymns that we sing. Angels we have heard on high. Hark the herald angels sing. Yes, the text says saying, but they are singing because in joyful praise, this comes out in a poetic hymn, as it were. And this is just a summary. Perhaps they sang even more than this. Maybe this is just the title of the hymn that they sang. Have you ever pondered what else they would have been thinking and singing that night? They would have thought of various psalms in the Old Testament that prefigured this Messiah. You see, angels know far more than we do, and they never forget. They have more insight. They would have remembered the messianic prophecies. Perhaps that was blended in with their angelic hymn that night. This angelic choir, otherworldly. I'd love to have been there to hear it. Have you ever heard a really large choir? And I don't just mean like a stadium full of people singing the national anthem at a baseball game. That's interesting when it begins to vibrate, when people by the hundreds sing. Have you ever heard a massive choir of professional singers? I have, and they have a great orchestra here. Maybe they're singing opera. And there's just something about all the voices singing in perfect pitch and perfect harmony. You have never heard a choir like this choir. 100? A stadium filled? This was the sky filled with hundreds of angels singing all perfectly. Perfect pitch, perfect tone, the perfect melody. Not only that, the way they sang was in the perfect way according to the words. God inspired it, and they sang with such joy in holy worship. I wonder what it would have been like. In Job 38:7, we're told that at the moment of creation, the angels sang for joy. In Luke 15, Jesus says that the angels sing for joy when just one sinner repents and is converted. How much more, I say, would they have sung for joy on this momentous occasion when the Son of God Himself was born? They would have outdone, as it were, the songs that they have always sung. They would have sung in joyful adoration. Holiness. A joyful celebration. In Isaiah 6, we're told something else about the way the angels sing. It says that the angels sing in an antiphonal way. Now, some of you musicians know what that means. That means that over here, one part of the angels would sing something, and another part over here would echo, as it were. Maybe repeating a line and adding a line, taking it to a higher level. And so back and forth, these shepherds heard the angels over here. Some would sing, and an echo over here behind the clouds. And they would hear this over, we're not told how long it went on. Minutes. Perhaps hours. And the shepherds were overwhelmed as they heard the angels sing in this anthem of worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what they sang. Glory to God in the highest, because as God's unfallen holy angels, that is their highest duty and their best privilege, to worship God. And we see this over in Revelation 4 and 5 and elsewhere in Scripture. They behold the glory of God. The Lord Jesus said, angels behold the face of our Father in heaven. And when they see God, they always worship. Now they're seeing God in the flesh. And they're worshiping glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Now this does not mean, as many people take it in a sentimental, schmaltzy way today, say, that's right. We should pray for peace in the Middle East and elsewhere, and where there is industrial strife, we should pray for peace and go shake hands and say, well, peace be with you. And that's the meaning of Christmas. And they also say, well, goodwill toward men. Put a penny in the red pot for the Salvation Army, and let's all just be happy. And they miss it completely. Yesterday I was listening to a Christmas song, and it was saying, Christmas is this, Christmas is this, Christmas is that. And by the end of the song I said, they left out the main thing, Jesus. They were talking about holly and trees, and they misunderstand this anthem. Brethren, the angels didn't misunderstand it. They knew why they were worshiping. They were worshiping God. And they were proclaiming that God is now proclaiming peace to us, His enemies. The Prince of Peace has been born, and He's on His way to the cross to make peace for us and to bring peace with God for us. And that this is an expression of God's goodwill toward men. His natural born sinful enemies, God is, as it were, offering terms of peace. And all that in that baby that was born that night. Brethren, we need to imitate these angels. Not just on Christmas Sunday when we sing great hymns, but all year long we should celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may that be cause for us to worship God as well. Well, after a while, when I told how long the angels began to go back to heaven, one by one, perhaps from one part of the sky they flew off, and then others, and just like they invaded, now they're going back to heaven. And then one last angel, perhaps Gabriel, was the last one to fly away. And they were gone. The shepherds looked up and all they saw were the stars again. But they knew they weren't dreaming. This was no hallucination. It was quiet again. And one thought ran through their mind. They said, let's go find that baby. The angel had said, you will find him in swaddling clothes. And it says they ran with haste as fast as they could. And they trusted God to look after their sheep. And they went looking. They said, now, how are we going to find him? Well, he's in a manger. Mangers are in barns. Let's go looking in the barns. Now, when you piece that together, it's almost humorous. Here are these shepherds going into the barn. They didn't go to the mansions. They didn't go to the inn. They didn't go to the palace. They went poking around in barns. And perhaps some farmer said, hey, what are you doing in my barn in the middle of the night? Get out of here before I call the cops. What are you doing here? Well, we're looking for a baby. What baby? Baby in a manger. There's no baby in a manger. Get out of here. Shepherds. But the shepherds wouldn't be stopped. And eventually they said, let's try that one over there. And when they went in, the text says that they saw Mary and they saw Joseph. They would see animals. But their eyes were drawn like a magnet to him, Jesus, the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, just like the angel had said, lying in the manger, just like the angel said. And they reacted to this baby as to no other baby, because they now beheld something greater than that one angel or the sky full of angels that filled them with a holy awe and fear and caused them to worship. They now saw something greater than even the angels. Now, this baby didn't have a halo. It didn't have that Shekinah glory of God emanating around it. It didn't need that. Jesus was, as it were, the glory of God. And when they beheld him and recognized, that's him. The angel said, you will find him, Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord. That's him. And they knelt before him and they pondered him. They knew that this baby was just what the angel said. He is the Son of God, God in the flesh. But the shepherds couldn't grasp it. Nobody could grasp it all. Not even the angels. God in the flesh as a baby? Who would have ever thought it? When God first decreed it, the angels thousands of years ago would have been in astonishment. God become a man as a baby? And they couldn't wait. And now that night, invisibly, the angels looking on and the shepherds now looking on, trying to ponder it. We too should try to ponder it. One of the hymns says, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Greater than the glow of the Shekinah glory of God that they saw out on that hill, now they behold with their very eyes him. Jesus, the Son of God, in human flesh. So they knelt. And we're not told they said anything. Who would dare say anything? They would kneel in a silent awe. And their eyes would be on him, that baby. And they worshiped. How would you have reacted if you had been there, knowing who that was? Not just another baby. What would you have done? What would you have said? If we were believers, we probably would have responded just like these shepherds to be there. Wouldn't you like to have been there? I don't know about you, but I would give everything that I've ever owned, everything I own, ever will own. I would give the entire universe for 5 minutes in the presence of Jesus that night. Wouldn't you? Oh, that would have been worth more than all the gold and diamonds in the world. because that baby is worth more than all creation. And the privilege those shepherds had to behold him on that very first night. Oh, to have been there. But in a way, we can be there. Not by going back in some time machine. God has given us a soul. And as it were, our souls have what we call an eye of faith. The Bible says, for example, in Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus. How? Remember what Jesus said to Thomas. Blessed are those that have not seen, that is with their physical eyes, but they believe with the eyes of their heart. That's why we sing in one of the hymns, come to Bethlehem and see him whose glory the angels sing. With eyes of faith, not by looking at pictures or nativity scenes, let alone movies, but in our mind, in our heart, as it were, saying, yes, it did happen. God said so. And I believe it just because God says so. We behold by faith. And brethren, it's more than enough to just gaze, as it were, with the eyes of faith. We are to respond like the angels and like the shepherds, knowing who he is. We are to behold him, as it were, with faith and with adoration and with worship and with love. That is our privilege as Christians, and non-Christians don't. They don't see it. They see a picture on a Christmas card and say, oh, nice cuddly baby. We see something more. And we say, come, let us adore him. And that is the privilege we have. And the angel, the shepherds were not looking at Mary and Joseph or the animals. They were looking at him. Brethren, let us not get sidetracked by the trappings of Christmas. But instead, tune our hearts and minds to him whose birth we celebrate at this time of the year. Then in verses 17 and 18, it says that the shepherds began to make widely known the saying that was told them concerning this child. In other words, they told Mary and Joseph and possibly others in the neighborhood to tell them, the angel appeared. We have seen the baby. Can't you see him knocking on doors? Hey, wake up in there. The Messiah is here. The one that Moses and David, Solomon and Hezekiah had promised. We've seen an angel. And the angel said, go there. We've seen him. And it says here that people wondered, what is happening this night? They're marveling. And we should imitate these shepherds. We need to tell other people that Jesus has been born. What's more, he died, he rose, he is the King, he is our Savior, he is the Lord. We need to spread the word to others that need to hear it. But Mary was quiet that night, verse 19. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She thought about them, she treasured them up. For 9 months she had been pondering this, and now in a new way, as she held her baby, she is now holding him, wondering, this is the Messiah. My baby is the Son of God in human flesh. And we need to imitate Mary as well. We need to ponder these things. And the word there means roll it over in your mind and in your heart over and over again. See the implications of that. Meditate upon that. God in the flesh. Remember, Mary had earlier said, how can this be? How can it be indeed? But it's so. Ponder it. Chew it over in your mind. And let it cause a holy wonder in your hearts. She pondered it. Later, Jesus himself would say, let these words sink down in your ears, into your heart. We should ponder upon this, brethren, in your quiet time, at communion, at special times such as Christmas. And that's what the angels were also doing. 1 Peter 1:12 says, which things angels long to look into. What things? Peter had said the various prophecies about the Messiah. They had searched the scriptures. They were there when the prophecies were given. And now on this holy night, those angels were looking on. How can this be? This is, as it were, a gateway into the infinite deepness of God's truth. We need to be like those angels. Brethren, I invite you to develop a holy curiosity about the birth of Jesus. And then this wonderful episode concludes, verse 20. Just as the angels went back to heaven, the shepherds went back to their sheep. glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as was told them. They went back, changed. They would never ever forget what they saw and heard that night. They'd never forget the angels that first appeared. How could they ever forget the sky filled with angels? But most of all, they would remember Jesus, the Son of God. What did they talk about when they got back there? Maybe they talked about the angel or the angels or Jesus. Or maybe they just sat there in a hushed awe. They didn't have to say anything. They had all experienced the same thing. Maybe they just bowed their heads in worship and thinking over that hymn, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And we should be like the shepherds here. When they went, they came back changed. They went back to their regular work. We too will be changed when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ and He calls us to go back into the world and to live in the world and to tell people the gospel. But like these angels and like these shepherds, we need to worship. Come, let us ponder these things. Let us wonder and let us worship this Jesus. Shall we pray? Lord, what can we say but glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. He's born. He came. And He lived and He died and He rose. Our Savior, Jesus. In His holy name we pray. Amen.